for what? Perseverance, among other things, right? Huh? You know, so it's so beautiful that prayer, Anima Christi, right? And you know, the way it kind of imitates the Our Father, right? It's almost the same petitions, huh? But you go through the first five petitions, you know, and you say, Passio Christi conforta me, right? Okay, now I'm strong, right? Now I can, what, persevere? No. No matter how strong I am from receiving the Eucharist, right? Does that give me the strength to persevere? See? Well, then the next part is about perseverance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, hide me in your wounds, it says, right? Mm-hmm. If you do this to me, it's a priority I take. Mm-hmm. But you're asking God to not permit that you be separated from Him, right? Mm-hmm. But no matter how strong you are, as you all the first five petitions, you know, you are still not what? Capable of those, of persevering and being the cause of your perseverance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to always ask God for perseverance. Huh? Thomas often, you know, asks about, what about the Our Father, right? Well, he says, thy kingdom come. You're asking in part there for perseverance, huh? Because his kingdom doesn't come really unless you persevere. So when you say thy kingdom come, you're asking for perseverance, huh? You know? But it seems to be even more explicit in the Anima Christi, you know, which is kind of one of the most revered, you know, prayers in the tradition of the Church. Huh? Mm-hmm. It doesn't go back to Ignatius; it goes back to, and then he made it very popular, I guess. It goes back to John the 22nd. Mm. Yeah, and they're not sure whether he approved it, you know, or whether he wrote it himself. Right? I don't know if that's at least the articles I read in the Catholic Encyclopedia, but it's a prayer that's always been, you know, held up to me as, you know, as an excellent prayer, I think it is. And it's kind of like the Our Father in a way, a lot. You know, it almost follows the order of the petitions and so on. But
makes you think of St. Peter too, because that line, you be me venire a te, it's exactly what St. Peter said to our Lord when he's walking on the water. If it's you, command me to come to you. Mm.
Yeah.
There's a line
right
out of Scripture. You command me to come to you.
But he didn't persevere there. He started to sink. Save me, yeah. But I think it's a good example of the need of special help. So if you read the treatise on grace there in Thomas in the Summa later on, in the Prima Secunda, right? Mm-hmm. And then it'll talk about the perseverance. Huh? So it's something special there, right? Huh? In addition to all the theological virtues and all the other things, you need a special divine providence. Huh? Okay. So it's something like what we're saying here, right? That these things that are able to be and not be, right? No one of them could be the cause of there always being these sort of things, right? Because it doesn't exist forever, right? Nor can all of them together be the cause of there always being, because they don't exist together, therefore they can't be a cause. And so you have to go outside of them, right? To something that guarantees their perpetuity, if they are perpetual, right? Just like with the acts of the will, huh? You have to go outside. Okay. So if there's nothing outside of them, then eventually, what? Nothing would have been in the past. And then, even now, nothing would be, right? Because what is not could not begin to be except through something that is, right? Mm-hmm. Can't get something from what?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. If, therefore, there was no being, it would be impossible that something began to be. And thus, now, nothing would be, which is clearly false, right? Okay. Therefore, the first conclusion, all beings are not what? Possible, meaning able to be and not be, right? Okay. But it is necessary that there be something necessary in things, right? Okay. Now, in the Summa Contra Gentium, he gives this argument, if I remember correctly now, it's a little bit different. The reason he gives, right, he's saying these things are able to be and not be, right? So, why are they one rather than the other, right? And then you have to bring in something that makes them be rather than not be. And then that's something else. And then you're get to necessary, right? So there may be one way to reason, right? To the existence of something necessary. And then, you know, Aristotle, you know, so the great solitary, the great Aristotle, because it was a Democritus who said, if something's necessary, don't ask any reason for it. Aristotle, who's known as the father of logic, this is a kind of a way of showing it. We know in demonstrations, say, of geometry, that the conclusions are necessarily true, right? Mm-hmm. But they're true because of the premises. So that there are necessary things that can have a cause of their mm-hmm. necessity, huh? And that's what the angels are, right? They necessarily are, but they have a cause of necessity. Mm-hmm. Okay? But everything that is necessary either has a cause of its necessity, or it does not have it. It's got to be one of the two, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not possible that one go on forever in necessary things which have a cause of necessity, just as neither is it in what? Yeah, or in movers, that matter, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. They have one grand necessary to another, mm-hmm. with no other. Therefore, it's necessary to lay down that there's something that is necessary to itself, huh? Not having a cause of its necessity somewhere else. But which is the cause of necessity to others. And this all call what? God. Yeah. Now Thomas, you know, in the Summa Cum Gentile, so use this as a middle term to show that God is his own existence, right? Mm-hmm. He says something exists to existence, right? So what exists to itself necessarily must be existence itself. Very simple, right? It's a negative, right? You know, you say. He's so simple, you know, in a good sense. Huh? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the famous words of St. Teresa Avila, you know, God is altogether simple. Mm-hmm. And the closer one gets to God, she says, the simpler one becomes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remember, Descartes, you know, saying we have to get back to the simple understanding of Thomas. Mm-hmm. And even something profound, but not naive understanding. Or, yeah. You know, I mean, Descartes had a great appreciation of difficulty in these things, as I'm trying to explain, you know, in the way he gave that great seminar for us, right? Mm. But most people I hear, you know, we're interviewing people at the college now and so on, and all this language, you know, they can't say simply and clearly what the way Thomas will say it, huh?
Sure.
And it's, you know, I got to with the senses of before. I was talking about how it's a commonplace now to talk about priorities, you know, and you know, they talk about individuals get their priorities straight and the government get their priorities and everybody's priorities. Well, the word priority is like an abstraction from prior.
Yeah.
And the word prior itself is what? It is the Latin word, and therefore not as familiar as before, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really a question of getting your before straight, huh?
Yeah.
And then when you realize that there are many senses before, you realize that there's a difference in some. Huh? Sometimes you have to do this before that, not because this is better than that, but you can't do that unless you've done this first. Mm-hmm. Other times you do this before that because this is better to do than that, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that when they say your priorities, that there are different senses of before, right? Mm-hmm. You know how Shakespeare makes fun of people use the word prior and posterior instead of before and after? Huh? I borrowed part of his phrase before, but he has these guys in Love's Labor's Lost, right? Who are kind of, you know, pseudo-intellectuals and so on.
Yeah.
And they say, one of the guys says to the guy, let us meet in the posteriors of the day, which the rude multitude called the afternoon. Well, it's always a scene to say the posteriors of the afternoon, you know. But saying that's clear. They're saying that's in the afternoon, you know. I remember a kid, you know, that came up to me when I was in college, you know, it's a pretty, you know, good philosophy major and so on. What do you mean by first principles? Well, beginnings. Oh, that's what they mean. So you gotta. But it shows you the bad effect of custom, right? People are accustomed to use the big words, and they're not really as clear, huh? Mm-hmm. And it impedes your understanding, and it impedes your understanding.